Love this podcast? Support this show through the Acast supporter feature. It's up to you how much you give, and there's no regular commitment. Just click the link in the show description to support now.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here, and it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Thanks for tuning in to Why Are People Into That? We'll be back next week with our first official episode of 2016. Until then, enjoy this, part two of the Whorecast and On Your Face podcast crossover special with Susie Q and Sam Solo, our 2015 year in sex.
The one we did not get into, which is also was going to be under the heading of the properly shamed, is the Ashley Madison story. And so that is one of the biggest, that's maybe is the number one, like one of the biggest sex stories. That's like a sex story, like consent and rape and sex. It's like they're
but also interrelated, privacy.
But yeah, and privacy.
Privacy.
But I wanted to say, you know, the last piece of the properly or undershamed. Ashley Madison hackers, I feel like, did not get shamed at all.
Agreed.
And
right.
And there
the
is
impact
this,
team, right?
There is this type of puritanical, repressed internet vigilante who's like super slut shamey and like they're the people who are like, yeah, we
like
put out
fapping,
we
you
put
know?
Your Jennifer Lawrence
That's
nodes
right.
out because you should never show anyone your bare breasts
How
except for
you.
Me.
That's
except
right.
for me.
Basically. That's like, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So those guys need more shame.
And
the
yes,
entire genre of human.
Agreed, which includes Gamergate.
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah. The Impact Team was, I think, what those group of hackers called themselves who hacked Ashley Madison, the hookup site for folks who want to cheat on their spouses / just hire a prostitute. I said it. They got hacked and leaked everybody's information. A lot of that information was also the interesting thing that happened was not just like, oh, this private information got leaked, but also the main thing that got leaked was the trick. The
right.
trick of Ashley Madison is that
right.
it's all fucking robots talking to dudes who want to cheat. So the Impact Team also wanted to showcase, hey, not only like here are the people who want to cheat on their spouses or who did cheat on their spouses, which could include politicians and priests and, well, not priests, but you know what I mean, but figureheads, but moreover that, hey, this is a list of fools, almost cuckolds, if you will, but fools who wanted to cheat and maybe did or maybe just talked to a robot all day and like got cheated out of their money.
And this goes back to consent in the sense of we feel like we have to trick people into talking to robots, but wouldn't it be better if we had structure set up for people to get their needs met with either real people who are getting paid or actual robots who they knew that they were like artificial intelligence. Like let's just do that.
Blade Runner forever. Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. Exactly. Mm-hmm.
I was going to, like, to me, the biggest thing that comes out of both Ashley Madison and the fappening is just like people having to face the reality of sex a little bit more. Like,
that's right.
People, men want to have sex, women want to have sex. Like, sometimes they're going to have it with each other. Sometimes they don't want to have it with each other, even though they want it, you know, just from their computer or from their sex toy. And sometimes they want to take pictures of it, you know? And
including movie stars.
Guess what? Everyone eventually is going to have like their nudes leaked or their like weird fetish profile revealed.
It will be so interesting when they're, because there will come a time, maybe, I don't think we'll be dead yet. I think we might be old and maybe no one will want to see pictures of us naked on the internet anymore. But, you know, we all have naked pictures of ourselves on the internet. So that's there forever. Frozen in time, the portrait of Dorian Gray. But when the, 99 or 100% of like people in America have naked pictures of themselves on the internet, which like that day is fast approaching, everybody.
Totally.
Fast. what will that do about the way we think about sex work and the way we think about people who got paid to put their, you know, naked pictures on the internet?
Totally.
So it's exciting to think about, I think. And it's kind of interesting to see the muggles all like sort it all out, like Ashley Madison, what's happening? You know, and like, are you buying me a sex tape?
The sexting ring.
You know, and as we just move closer and closer towards, like, you know, date zero, which is when, like, everyone's a whore, and now we deal.
If everyone's a whore, is no one a whore?
Exactly.
yeah, and also there, I mean, I think that that's a very good point. I think that the technology, I do talk about this in my book, my new book, the sexting book, the technology is not, the moral panic is this idea that like the technology is creating an impulse or creating a desire or facilitating some
dormant evil
within awakening the dormant evil within and but those
a force the, perhaps
a force a dark force. But actually people want to show each other their tits and always have, and now they have new ways of doing it. And there's a proverbial paper trail, right? There's a pixel trail. And so we can see it out of context, right? Like seeing somebody's naked selfie, which is imbued with so much meaning for the person who took it and the person that they were sending it to, like you, whatever that meaning is, then you take it out of context and you see it and you give your own interpretation. And you're like, the meaning of this is something I'm scared of and don't understand, or that's bad. And let's repress it. Let's regulate it. Let's get it away from me. You know what I mean?
I think I'm just thinking right now about so many of the naked selfies I've sent to Sam and what they might look like to someone out of context. And yeah, it's horrifying. Sorry.
Shouldn't have said that. So we'll post those in the show notes.
No, those are only for me forever.
Until Fappening 2.0 for DF minus list for celebrities.
for people who are already all over naked on the internet. Haha, the
fat bot selfies from Disneyland got leaked. Oh, the ones I didn't post already.
But it would be funny if they tried to ransom you and you were like, I'm not giving you my money.
That's gonna happen.
But if you would like to do a blackmail role play, I have a rate for that.
Yeah, you can can pay me to do this correctly.
Where are we?
All right, guys. What else? So Ashley Madison was one of the like big stories of the year,
and more
like, and the final transition.
And even though we have like scoffy sort of thoughts about it, like bottom line, like no, don't do that to people though. Impact team, little hackers. We like hackers when they, you know, behave, but not when they violate people's privacy. Yeah.
So let's talk about another scandal about privately sent emails being made public. Sam, do you want to explain the Pennsylvania thing? And then I have, they were released, the pornographic emails, and I would like to describe some of them to you because I'm looking at them on my phone right now.
Ooh. All right, so there are two good little political scandals that I want to talk about. And the first one is the one I think you're talking about is Kathleen Kane, who is a public prosecutor. Mm-hmm. She was a state prosecutor, right, for the state of Pennsylvania?
I believe that's correct.
That's correct. She discovered a trove, I believe is the word, a trove of nasty, racist emails that also had like tons of sexually explicit content in them.
Whoa.
Basically just like dude bros in the Senate and prosecutors. Whoa. They were fellow prosecutors is what it was. And they were basically just like sending back, they were basically being on Reddit with each other.
Oh, God.
Just like sending each other gross, dumb shit. And she found it, and she was, like, actually following up on it and not just looking, turning the other cheek and being like, well, those boys, they're putting
boys
dirty stuff on
boys.
The internet. You know, this was, like, the office email.
Oh, my God.
And so that led to allegations against her coming out. Mm. So, basically, whenever you try to fight corruption, you have to be perfectly squeaky clean.
Right.
And then if you're squeaky clean, they'll just frame you anyway.
Yeah.
So I'm looking at one of the emails right now, and this is a photocopied, very poorly. This is definitely like your mom doesn't know how to make a meme. A photocopy.
Your mom doesn't know how to make a meme
of something that is clearly from a hardcore pornographic film or still series of a lady. With perhaps augmented breasts, laying on her back on a wooden desk, with her head hanging over the side of the desk, with a cock in her mouth.
Oh.
The cock is attached to someone who is only wearing a nice dress shirt. And it says, as sort of like in the style of an inspirational poster, it says, "Willingness. Bend over backwards to do an exceptional job." And here's another one. Here is a lady, similar looking lady, giving head to someone who's clearly sitting in an office desk. There's a router in this picture. and it says, "Devotion, making your boss happy is your only job." And here she is getting fucked, and it says, "Resourcefulness, take advantage of every opening." And here she's sucking a very big cock, and it says, "Performance, monthly performance evaluations are mandatory for all secretarial staff."
Oh, goodness.
Courage, there is.
Oh, yep. It's, yeah, courage. So no, that.
Can
that
you
is,
describe this one?
Yeah, sure.
Okay.
And I have a problem with this image, actually. Not. Oh, no, I don't, actually. I think it's fine. First of all, I just want to say that I don't hate any of these. Context. These actually remind me of certain, cam people out there who really love office secretary role play. And
all of my, when I go in for a civilian job interview, I realize that all of my office interview, quote unquote,
knowledge.
Nice clothing. Oh. No, my nice clothing was all purchased for slutty secretary scenes.
Right, totally.
So I have pencil skirts that are too small and very low cut blouses. Anyway.
And that's great. That's great on its own, but not for real. When you're like, no, these are office procedures. This is a thing that we circulate. No.
Or these are jokes that this is part of our office culture in this context of bros passing these emails back and forth, by the way, bros who are government employees on the clock.
Yeah.
Cause off the clock, make whatever fucking misogynistic jokes.
You do you.
Yeah. You want, we can talk about that, but spending taxpayer dollar time to send misogynistic pictures to one another, which in a different context might not be misogynistic. You see what I mean? It's the intention of how the picture is.
Right. But
it's like a digital version of a woman asking a group of dudes to stop talking about the graphic things they want to do to the woman who just left the room.
Right, right.
And well, right, they're microaggressions.
And she's basically, and then this is them all turning again on her and fucking her up for making them feel the slightest bit discomfort of self-consciousness for the way they are.
That's right.
However, I do want to say that keeping your eyes open during the cum shot is courage. It is.
Oh yeah, so
I have no problem
this,
with that.
So this does it's a portrait of a cum shot, and it says, "Courage. You can never succeed if you never take a shot."
Oh,
it's not the best pun, but no. But
see, it's so nice. You can tell it's '90s too because of the makeup of the girl that she's wearing, and it's also '90s humor. It's whereas a meme for now would be "Courage." Just the photo of the girl with her eyes open awaiting the money shot. You don't need to say anything else, but the 90s version is little punny thing.
Explaining
that
it.
Oh, and then now I'm looking at the racist ones.
No, don't look at those. Let's move on.
All right. So we had one ridiculous sex scandal in Pennsylvania. And then another one, of course, it's always the fucking Michigans and Pennsylvanians of America.
We've got fans there. We like you too. Don't worry.
You're great.
Killing
it. This was Todd Corser and Cindy Gamrat. I'm sure that's not how you say her name.
Gamrat.
They were having an affair.
Okay.
They got caught.
Ooh.
They were being censured and probably going to get kicked out or whatever. And Todd was like, nah,
get kicked out of what?
Man. They were both state assembly people. They were state senators.
Gov.
Yeah.
.gov.
.gov. And they were sleeping with each other, and they're both married. But Todd was like, no, man, I'm not going out like that.
Oh, no.
I'm going to throw pocket sand in their eyes, and they'll never know that pocket what's real sand? Anymore. That's a that's a TV reference. It's just like a TV character that like gets out of a situation by throwing pocket sand at him. Anyway, his big distraction was going to be, I'm going to send these nasty emails to myself.
Oh, right.
From an anonymous email.
Ooh.
Accusing me of a lot of things, including like being a frequenter of male prostitutes and a terrorist.
Which is basically the same.
Yeah. No, in a lot of people's eyes, yes.
That is the same. You pay for it. You're riding in the car with Obama. Osama?
Oh, God.
The old World War II posters.
Ass, gas, or grass.
No, when you ride alone, you're riding with Hitler. Does anyone remember these propaganda ads from World War II?
Mussolini, yeah.
Because you're wasting gasoline, so you're riding with Hitler.
Yeah, I remember World War II.
Yeah, we were all there.
Man, that was one of the highlights of 2015.
World War II ended finally.
And now we can look forward to several decades of prosperity. Yes. And cultural repression.
What happened? They had an affair.
So they had an affair, and then Todd, to get out of being caught, his caughtness was so complete, but he thought he could wriggle his way out by saying, well, look at these other ridiculous accusations. Clearly none of them are true.
Oh, the old 1-2, right?
That was his great plan.
That's like the plan like a six-year-old boy makes when he's like, oh, I smashed a vase. Well, maybe I'll just like, they'll think a bear came through if I just break
put mud
everything.
Everywhere. I'll make mud tracks through the house and they'll think it was the dog.
Exactly.
Basically Todd's plan.
Oh, so that didn't go so well for Todd.
I really wanted to include that one as kind of on a lighter note.
It's silly. It's real. So did he get, like, did they just figure out? Did he also make a new Hotmail address? Like,
they're not part of the state assembly anymore.
Yeah, they're gone
Michigan.
Now.
They're good. They're all set. They're all set for life.
Sorry, Rat Stacks or whatever.
Cam Rat.
Rat Stacks. Okay,
Rat Stack sounds
wouldn't
like
it be
a
funny if
Disney
you,
rapper name.
If you went to,
it is
can you
my
imagine
Disney
somebody?
Name.
Can you imagine somebody in desperation, like being like, okay, what is a blackmailer email address? And they're like blackmail@hotmail.com.
And it's like
that has been taken. Would you like blackmail 1982? Blackmail exclamation point.
Okay, just really quick, speaking to that end, I had the worst online dating moment happen the other day. I got a notification on my OkCupid because I like don't know how to turn it off because I'm afraid they'll disable my account again when they like find out that I'm a sex worker. It's already happened once. But I got a thing. It's like, hey, you got a new message from Adolf Hipster 123, meaning Adolf Hipster was already taken. So
and he just felt so attached to Adolf Hipster that he was like, nah, no. What about Adolf Hipster 0?
1, 2, 3.
Adolf Hipster number 1? Fuck. I guess.
The Adolf. No.
Black,
1, 2, 3.
black_mail@hotmail.com.
Yep.
Ooh, black male spelled M-A.
Nope. Nope. Anyway, okay.
All right, so were there any other lighthearted ones for this year? Okay, before we get into like two dark ones.
Campus rape.
Yeah, yes. No. I feel like, okay, really quickly though, Magic Mike.
Magic Mike 2.0.
I haven't seen XL. Have you guys seen XL?
No, no.
No, I just know that the America
was
so... America
loves it.
They wanted to talk about it. I don't know how huge of a hit it was, but like it was a news story for a while. They were just like, men can be sexy and that's money? What?
I know. When Magic Mike, the first one came out, I wanted to do an entire Whorecast episode about it, but like somebody said it wasn't a good idea. But here we are. They made a sequel. It's still a huge deal. Magic Mike.
Okay. Magic Mike number one. Film review, 30 seconds, go.
It's actually not great. It's kind of a weird, it meanders a little bit. But overall, dudes, loving dudes and the hustle together with dance moves, yes.
Sure. you're very good at being concise. I'm sorry, I cut you off. No, your S off.
it was going to go for a long time.
So Sam?
This way.
I just like, you know, male gentrification is something that is near and dear to my heart.
Did you say gentrification or objectification? Male gentrification.
Male okay. objectification.
Very different.
Is very near and dear to my heart. And, you know, I just like to see it go mainstream.
Yeah, absolutely.
Possible. Also, you know, it is still a somewhat positive representation of sex work.
Yeah, totally.
Yeah, the first maybe hour, maybe even hour and a half of that movie, when I was watching it, I was like, I could watch this every day of my life. And then the last third was so... you know, it was just, I mean, from a like filmmaker's perspective, it was very disjointed. It was like, it was like they had to graft an after school special.
Yeah.
Like sex work will lead to hard drug use, not only hard drug use and partying, but abuse and community falls apart and friendship isn't magic.
We know it's not true.
But like the werewolf from True Blood sewing a gold lamé thong and then pumping?
Wait,
it's like huge. Pumping his dick?
He pumps his dick in the movie, and I have to say, I have read reviews by civilians of that movie where they're like, well, there's no full frontal nudity in it, and there's no actual penises in it. I'm like, you didn't know what you were seeing.
Right.
They didn't know.
Yeah.
Which is genius.
Yeah.
That's amazing.
Yeah. It's amazing. It's a... Hats off to Magic Mike. Make a million. I want a franchise. Let's do this. Mark Wahlberg.
And in the new movie, I haven't seen it, but I have read that there's a lot more female subjectivity in it. There's a lot more like of the women who are, and some of them are like women of a certain age, like Annie McDowell, right? Like who are enjoying and objectifying the man candy.
Nice.
Yeah. And that's cool. And Elizabeth Banks. I love Elizabeth Banks.
Yeah, absolutely. But yeah. All in all, we're happy to see that happening in the theaters.
I feel like we should talk about the campus rape thing, and then we can just kind of do like very quickly. I think we should just basically shout out with happiness. Trans visibility and gay marriage. Just kind of just be like,
did that happen this year? That happened.
Trans visibility. Oh yeah,
gay marriage did happen this year. Okay, it did happen.
Yeah.
Specifically, gay marriage. I know trans visibility happened this year, but yeah, okay.
In a huge way. But I feel like last year was like kind of the year that we talked about sexual assault in the military a lot. And this year, I feel like just, you know, there was the Rolling Stone article that had to be retracted or was found to be disputed. But I
feel
like that was.
About the University of Virginia.
Yeah. I feel like that was one like tiny, like sort of negative blip in what was overall like a shift in the conversation. And it was like an emphasis in the culture about sexual assault on campus and consent. On and alcohol on campus.
Yeah. I mean, yes means yes was huge too, you know, like in that came sort of nearer to the end of the year. But I think as a result of all the conversations that started happening of just like, no, when somebody.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Rape someone, even when they're on a college campus, it doesn't mean you like shouldn't call the police, which like that was a very real part of my college experience. My girlfriend was definitely assaulted like in a sorority or fraternity and like had to talk to campus and like shouldn't press charges. Like,
yeah.
What? And that's just been how we've lived for so long. And that's starting to change.
But then it's complicated because there's this movie, The Hunting Ground, that is also this documentary that now people are accusing it of being fabricated about what the mainstream media is trying to figure out how to talk about consent and the complications of it. And at least they're trying.
Yes.
At least they're trying and they're like sort of in this like adolescent stage of talking about it.
Right.
But like I would always rather that things be on the table, because repression, right, and, you know, like we've been talking about with all of these other rape accusations and sex scandals, like, power can hide things that it doesn't, that threaten its power.
Right.
And accusations of doing immoral, unethical, and illegal things threatens to disrupt the status quo, and in addition to putting people in jail, and threatens the patriarchy. And
right. But we hate jail. It's so complicated.
No, I've never, I can, it's hard to root for jail.
For sure.
Yeah.
But like, if, yeah. Okay.
It is amazing.
Yes.
That people are trying, again.
Trying.
People, that this is something, the more that we talk, the more that I feel that one thing that defined sex and gender in 2015 is that civilians and the mainstream press are like acting like they've uncovered all of these. All of a sudden they're like,
it's all
maybe
new, or
maybe these like ethical quandaries will sell papers, or right, you know, whatever it is that they sell now. And they're trying.
Yeah.
They're trying. And we're like, hey, if you would like to pay us to, mm-hmm, give you a consultation on all the deep thinking we've been doing about this forever.
Yeah.
Then we have a rate for that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
This year, I mean, of course, we saw the overturning of the Defense of Marriage Act. Thank fucking God. That happened. And that was, you know, more than a long time coming, but also suddenly like, this like revelation of like, yeah, oh, yep,
yeah,
that's over. we finally, everyone finally gets it. Everyone can finally agree that that was fucked up and weird, and we're over that now. And you know, I think we're starting to see the very beginnings of that around you know, transgender folks. Yeah. And
I was going to say, well, also just because so many of the mainstream big budget orgs now are turning to, yeah, trans issues, because that's where there's more tension, right, and where they can, you know, like kind of, yeah, plow those fields a little bit more,
yeah,
effectively.
Yeah. It's, you know, we've got to acknowledge the nonprofit kind of industrial complex in terms of like how they've made a ton of money off of campaigning for gay marriage equality. And like,
and, mm-hmm, one thing that I would like to say that I think that we are going to see more and more of now that it is legal for cisgender people of the same gender to marry one another and stuff and things, gay marriage, is that the queer sexual deviants who have been thrown under the bus for many years now, as respectability politics, gay rights have been making advances, we need to start speaking up. And, you know, I'm very happy to see gay marriage being legalized, like human rights, talks, like let's get it done. And now we need to redistribute our efforts, our money, our airtime to talking about trans rights, talking about sex worker rights, talking about the rights of kinky people and polyamorous people and
black people. Like, that's the main thing. Absolutely. The real hero of 2015 is fucking Black Lives Matter. You know?
That's the thing. I didn't know how we could kind of talk about it. It's not really our area.
Right.
But that is like the actual story of 2015, really.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Absolutely. Yes. And, I do know that in 2016, Kimberly Crenshaw is releasing a book on intersectionality. It's called On Intersectionality, even though she coined that term, I think in the 80s. But I think that intersectionality is the new feminism, more than focusing on like, is there a fourth wave? Like,
right.
I think intersectionality has to be what feminism is about. It has to be what social justice is about. And so, yeah, so whores need to fight on behalf of people of color and listen to people of color. And also, of course, there are whores of color and right. sex workers of color, however they identify.
And we need to centralize their voices. You know, that's
absolutely. And I hope that we'll be doing that this
yeah,
year.
I hope so too. But all in all,
let's end on the role of our sex worker heroes of 2015.
Speaking of, yes. Well, I mean, there's
Zola's
a lot.
At the top of the list.
Zola's number. I don't know if she's number one, but she
but
is.
She's at the top of this list in order that I wrote it down.
For those of you, I did have the privilege of writing about Zola for my column, The Whore Next Door. So, but if you have not read about, if you have not read Zola's story, Google Zola's story right now and read it. It was this sex worker who took to Twitter and wrote a crime novel, and everyone listened like and liked it so much more than Serial because Serial didn't have an actual ending, whereas Zola's story did. And I was so excited. Also, the main thing about Zola's story is A, everyone stopped and listened to a black working class sex worker
Absolutely.
Talk about her experiences with trafficking.
And nobody was, there was no gatekeeping.
Yeah.
Like nobody was like, okay, well, in order to tell your story, you need to like use this language
right.
or you need to actually, can we like clean it up with a redemption narrative? It was just like her story.
Her mind, her thoughts, her words.
Yeah.
Bam.
Her, 100%. Yes, exactly.
Incredible.
And her amazing sense of humor.
Yeah.
No, she killed it. She is definitely one of our heroes.
When do we get our t-shirts? I heard that she was making apparel line. I need a vibing off of our hoism shirt today. It was not in my stocking. I want to talk to somebody. Santa, get him on the phone.
Get him on the phone.
Get him on the phone.
Yeah. Okay.
Okay.
Who Zola. Are some other heroes?
I would see number two, or not number two, but I'm going to go next with Heather. That's her only name she's known as.
Yes.
She was in, what state was that? Do you remember?
I don't remember.
I think it was West
here.
Virginia.
Oh.
I think it's West Virginia, actually. Or Virginia. One of those two. One of those two. Anyway, she, did she kill him? Or did she, like, did incapacitate
she
him?
Shot
until,
him. She killed
I couldn't know if she injured him until the cops got here or she ended his life.
I'm Googling it. Hold on.
The point is that she took a serial killer off of the streets single-handedly.
She was working, whether she identifies as a sex worker or not, and a client met up with her, and I don't know what...
West Virginia. It was in West Virginia.
I don't know what made her fear for her life, but she... Somehow he indicated to her, to put it lightly, that he had... ill intentions, and she...
He showed up... Okay, I'm just...
No,
I'm,
please.
I'm going to dive in. A man identified as a 45-year-old... identified as 45-year-old Neil Falls was killed by a woman he met in the escort section of Backpage.com. He showed up at the woman's home last week armed with a gun. Live or die, he allegedly asked her when she opened the door. Then he began choking her. She grabbed the gun, and she shot behind her.
And then they found a kill kit
yes.
in his car and a list of
other names.
Many other women who were advertising on back pages.
So literal hero. This
yes.
woman was a literal, and like going back to
Lifetime,
you know,
Lifetime movie.
And you know, of course we want to consider people's privacy. Who knows if she was out to friends and family or like what her situation was. She hasn't, you know, been all over, you know, The View or anything like that. But I would say she was underappreciated, under-congratulated,
yes.
undervalued, and we want
under-hyped.
To... Like, under-hyped.
People should have just hyped her up. But...
What?
I would say that... nothing. I was just going to be like, but next.
But I just want to, like, get underhyped.
Yeah.
Look at you. You were about to underhype, or you're like, yeah, she was underhyped. But let's get to the real story,
no,
jerk
story.
Face. No. Heather was great. Yeah. We did talk about her on the podcast, I think, or the column at some point. But yeah, huge deal. Awesome. Way to go. Way to go to be a fucking, like, actual real life
Maybe
hero.
Maybe we should all take some self-defense classes in...
Yeah,
my Muggle friends have been like, excuse me, why don't you take self-defense? That's my New Year's resolution, I think.
Awesome.
It's a good exercise.
It is.
And it's also, it's fun to hit people and get hit. Like,
oh yeah, wait, can you guys,
it, Sam?
Can you guys see Sam getting a job as the guy who wears the like
yes.
big block outfit?
We're starting
and has
a new business.
But is that a little creepy because we all know how much of a boner it would give?
I would never put myself in that position because it would give me a boner.
Whorecast sponsored
self-defense. That's so sad you can't make money doing something because it will give you a boner.
I think we can solve that. I think we can solve that problem.
If it's consensual.
What, is there like
as long as it's consensual.
Do you think that there's like a device that he could wear that will keep him from getting a boner?
I love having both of you on the podcast. Girl, this is why we need a Girl Bullies only podcast. That's what I'm saying.
No. Girl Bullies podcast every once in a while.
Starting to wrap up. But yeah, before we wrap up.
Margaret Cho, Amnesty International. All the heroes.
No, come on. No, we need to. That's not. We're not. No. Okay.
I also want to talk about Rent Boy.
Yeah. We have three major things to talk about.
Rent Boy.
Yes, we're all really stoked that Margaret Cho, fabulous comedian, came out of the closet about doing sex work. About doing sex work in the past.
Every group needs their celebrity.
Every group. We're so excited. I do have one major bone to pick with Margaret Cho, though.
What's that?
Why doesn't she want to hang out with us? That's what I want to know. Why isn't she here right now being our best friend?
Everybody wants a piece of Margaret Cho.
I'm just saying she should give some to us. I'm just saying she should be on the show. That's all I'm saying. She should be friends. I think we would really get along.
It could happen.
I think it can. Margaret Cho, let's hang out. That's all I'm saying. That's all I'm saying.
All I'm saying.
That's all we're all saying. Fact. Who was the other one?
Amnesty International.
They are the main heroes, I think. Yeah.
And that's tied with Rent Boy.
It certainly is. There's a lot to talk about with the Rent Boy raid. I was working in a full-time position in sales and marketing at Rent Boy when we were raided by Homeland Security. The business had been around for almost 20 years, providing a space for mostly male-identified escorts to post classified ads. It was really devastating. I will speak for myself and say that it was really devastating to lose my job, especially since it is the first full-time salaried healthcare job that I have had in after 10 years of doing sex work and a place where I didn't have to pretend to be something that I'm not. And I was hired because of my deep understanding of the community, not because I did a good job hiding. And so for Homeland Security to take away my honest American job felt ironic, and many other people also lost their jobs that day. The real heroes of the Rent Boy raid are the six people who were arrested, who are all now out on bail and facing all of the criminal charges. They are going to be dealing with a lot of legal stuff in 2016 and maybe for years to come. They're taking a free speech stance, last that I've heard, like what I've heard through the grapevine. And we're going to see. That story is definitely not over, and what happens with that. I hope that the mainstream press pays as much attention to what subsequently happens with the legal stuff as they did to the raid. I also think that this is a time that male privilege can be used in the service of the sex worker rights movement, because it is weird and funny and all too predictable and appropriate that women and trans people have been fighting for sex worker rights for so fucking long, and then the government comes for the dudes, lovely, wonderful dudes all who also deserve human rights. But everybody was like, huh, that doesn't really make sense. Shouldn't they be allowed to do that? Right. And nobody was like, oh no, who's exploiting them? They couldn't have thought it up themselves. So I think that Homeland Security was properly shamed by the mainstream press this year for what they did. But
always under. It's never home under shame Homeland Security. but yes.
But yeah, yeah. Anyway, I mean, just as an example, I mean, that happened two, maybe almost 3 months after the Supreme Court, you know, legalized gay marriage nationally. Mm-hmm. That is an example, I think, of the, like, trash that Homeland Security is, like, trying to take out now that they're, like, and then, you know, that, anyway, I obviously, like, am full of feelings about it. But, I think that Rent Boy represented, like, queerness and sex work and, like, perceived perversion and deviancy. All you have to do is read the complaint from Homeland Security, which is totally available online, didn't see how homophobic it is, and how sex phobic it is, to understand that. And, and I think that it, you know, is like sort of like a last, you know, like one of these like last ditch efforts to like try to like suppress like perceived deviancy and perversion, like in light of, you know, the perversion of gay love, being,
right,
being legal in that way. Anyway, so now I will step off my soapbox. I really have not been able to talk about it very much, so it feels really cathartic to be able to talk about it on the Whorecast. And there are Rent Boy legal defense funds that are easy to find, and I'm sure we can post in our show notes as well. But if anybody can do what they can to support them and also not let that story die, that would be great.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's all right. So in 20.
Thank you so much for talking about that.
We need.
Yeah.
Thanks for letting me.
Yeah. And like, it was so surreal with the Rent Boy thing, because, you know, we had experienced, you know, a couple years ago or about a year ago when my Red Book was shut down.
Absolutely.
So it was like, and I wasn't advertising on Rent Boy, so it affected me differently, but I know, you know, you were working there.
Yeah.
And also like in June when we went to New York to do a show, like we hung out with people from Rent Boy, you know, you were already working there. We went to like, you know, this rooftop party. It was celebration. It was Pride. DOMA had just been overturned. Everything felt like, I'm getting goosebumps, like just thinking about it. And it felt, you know, we met all these incredible people. And then, and the thing about Rent Boy is that it wasn't just an advertising platform. It was also community, and that people were in community with sex workers, building resources and vibrancy and, you know, actively fighting against sex worker stigma.
That's right. And I said, and actively fighting against sex worker isolation as well.
Yeah. And like, so it felt all the more intense to have that raid come down. And it's exciting that the story isn't over, though, because at the same time that this Rent Boy thing happened, another thing happened this year, which was Amnesty International, as well as the World Health Organization, you know, Lambda Legal, and a whole score of not score, but getting close, a dozen maybe or so, human rights organizations and LGBT organizations came out in support of sex workers' rights, which means that as we move forward in this fight, we have more allies, and we have allies with legitimacy, not respect the military.
In 2015, we legalized gay, and 2016, we're gonna legalize ho.
I think so.
You think so?
No.
I don't either. But maybe
I thought it was a nice send off. That was a nice wrap up to the podcast to say that.
But we're getting closer, and I think that 2016 is definitely going to be sweet. I think that it's sweet 16 year. I think that's what I think. It's definitely going to be sweet.
Are we going to have like an extravagant party?
Mm-hmm.
Is Nicki Minaj going to play?
If we can get her on the phone. We're working on Miley, actually. You know, so, you know, Miley came out in support of gay.
I feel like if we could get a celebrity to be like the anti-Gwyneth Paltrow, to be like, no, horse, they're awesome.
It could be,
it might be Miley.
Yeah, Miley is identifying as genderqueer.
Yeah.
Miley Cyrus is like a sophomore year women's studies major who like just found out about everything and needs to tell everyone. And I don't mind that.
And there's nothing, and that's nothing wrong with that.
Still, she's still working on colonialism.
You don't think she'll be genderqueer till graduation?
Yes, I think she will be.
So we got to get her before then. Miley, if you need to give us a call, thewhorecast@gmail.com. We're waiting. Margaret, too. We're just ready to hang out. We're here. We're ready. We've got champagne in the fridge.
Miley would fit in
here. She would. Yeah. Was that Margaret?
Margaret completely would.
I mean, completely, duh. We don't even need to talk about that.
Completely.
All right, you guys. It's 2016. We love you. I hope that you are with people you love who think that you're beautiful and cool and awesome. I hope that you're eating black-eyed peas and collard greens for luck and money. That's what we do in my family, and we have... it's time to eat now.
Guys. Oh, thank God.
The beans are ready. Hungry. I know you've been so hungry for so long and so cranky. So let's feed little Sammy. How about that? All right. We got to get out of here. Donnie Service, thank you so much for being here and making us sound good. Sam Solo, you're the best.
I'm trying.
We can find him at girlbullies.com. Tina Horn, I love you. It's so exciting.
TinaHorn.net.
TinaHorn.net for everything. Wire people into that. Follow that podcast. Get excited about it. Buy the sexting book. And we'll see you soon. We'll see you next week, actually.
I'm hungry for the future.
Wait. What's happening next week at Wire People Into That?
I'm not sure yet.
Okay, never mind.
I need to go back to New York. It's nice to be here in sunny Oakland.
It loves you. But you guys, until next week, I think we're back. I'm Susie Q. And that's Tina Horn. And that's Sam Solo. Or the Whorecast. Signing off.
Peace, bro.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here, and it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.